CF United, the premier Cold Fusion Conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
Hello everyone, my name is Nahuel Foronda. I am a Flex developer, and she's Laura Arguello. She's a Cold Fusion developer. So we will be talking about Flex and Cold Fusion integration. Let's begin with Flex. Flex is a tool to build user interface. And before, we have server side and client side. In the client side, we usually have HTML. And in the server side, we have Cold Fusion. Now, we have Flex on the client side and HTML on the client side. And on the server side, we have Cold Fusion. So.
Okay. So he said that Flex 2 is a tool to build user interfaces. But it's not only one tool. It's actually a set of tools to build these interfaces. It's actually composed of the SDK, the Software Development Kit, the Flex Builder, the Flex Data Services, and charting components, and the Cold Fusion and Flex connectivity. At the core of Flex 2, you have the SDK. With the SDK, you actually compile your application into a Swift file or a Flash file that you just upload to your server and run it on the Flash player. So if you know how Flex 1.5 works, you will compile on the server your Swift file. In this case, you're running everything locally, so you don't have to actually compile on the server. You just upload via FTP or however you usually do it. So as I said, it's the compiler, but it has everything you need to compile your application. All the class libraries, the components, layout managers, everything to actually build the application. And as I said again, no service required, and it is free. So that is actually, like, you had the Java SDK or the .NET SDK that you could download for free and compile your application. It is the same way with the Flex SDK. You just go download it for free and compile. But just like you have Microsoft Visual Studio or Eclipse, but it's better if you have an IDE that you can use to build your application. And that's why we have Flex Builder, which uses the SDK, but it's actually much more than that. It is a complete IDE that not only has the compiler, but also has a design view that you can use to lay out your components, what you see is what you get. I mean, once you put it on the IDE, you will get the same thing once it is compiled. But you also have a debugging perspective that you can use to run through your code while the application is running, which we never had that for Flex in the past. We don't have anything like that with HTML. Sometimes we have something similar for JavaScript, but I mean, this is really very good. We'll show you some of that. We also have the Flex Data Services. I think Ben today talked a little bit, about that. He showed some examples. And in this case, it is a server product. But it's used for something very specific. You use it when you actually need real-time communication between different clients, when you need to push data from the server to the clients. So that's the actually use case of the Flex Data Services. And it uses, if you know, maybe JMS, Java Messaging Service, it uses the same model where you have a channel where publishers publish messages, and then your consumers subscribe to those messages or those channels, and then whenever there's a new message in the channel, all of the clients that were subscribed will receive that message. So actually, it's very specific for this kind of communication and between many clients.
And One thing is that we don't want to go deep in this topic, but there is a good session that you can attend that is specific for Flex data services.
So. Yeah, and also how Ben showed today, you can also use it for data synchronization between clients. One client modifies the data, and then the other one gets notified. You can solve conflicts or however you want to do it on the server, but that's actually the way you will use the Flex data services. So what you need to know if you are going to build a Flex application is three things. MXML, ActionScript, and CSS, Cascading Style Sheets. MXML is is an XML-based language, so it's kind of like ColdFusion, but it's a strict XML. And you use it to lay out your application, to put controls on the application. That's what you define with MXML. Like in this case, we have a panel, some labels, some text inputs, buttons. Everything that will be on the application will be defined with MXML. And if we will run this, we'll get something like this. Very simple, a form, some text inputs. That's what we are doing with the previous, with this code.
Yeah, and you can show in the code and that we have the panel, a label, text input,
All the controls are in this screen were defined in the MXML file. Now, if you want to change the way this looks like, if you don't like the
default
grayish color or you don't like the way it looks, you can use CSS, just like you will do with HTML. You will change the way your application looks like. And like in HTML.
Yeah, and. Okay.
Well.
Okay, you see.
Okay. The MXML tag right there, you can just.
Say this, right?
The MXML tag style right there allow us to put an external style sheet inside the application. So let's look how this.
And this is just like in HTML. You can have an inline style where you just do it within the same file, or you can refer to an external style sheet just like it will do in HTML. So if we open this file that we were referring from the style tag, we'll see something like this. And if you know some style sheet from HTML, you will notice that the syntax is the same. But what's different is that the selectors are different. I mean, what's changed is that the selectors are different, the properties are different too. And that is because it wouldn't make a lot of sense to have, say, a header one tag in this file, because there is no header one tag in MXML. So you are referring to labels, text input, things that are in MXML. Just like you will say, okay, I'm referring to a paragraph or a header tag in HTML in the CSS file. So that's why they match the components and the classes that you define within MXML. And the same goes with the properties. It wouldn't make a lot of sense to have, I don't know, background alpha in HTML, because that's what you have in Flex. Okay, and if we would run this, we'll get something like this, where the colors were changed, maybe the fonts are changed, and to some extent, you can also change the way things are positioned from CSS. Now, we have this form, and it doesn't do anything. It's just sitting there, and we probably want something to happen when we click on the submit button. Maybe call the server, get authenticated, that looks like a login form, and so on. So to do that, we will use ActionScript. Like you will do in HTML, where you had maybe JavaScript to have some behavior. And you can have ActionScript that is inline, or you can create your own classes in ActionScript in separate files. And in this case, when we click on the button at the bottom of the page, we call a function that is being declared at the top, and you will do something in there that maybe we'll do later. So the idea is that you can create functions, you can create classes, objects. If you had external ActionScript files where you define classes, then you would instantiate in them by saying new and then the name of the class, or by using tags. But we're here to talk about how Flex and ColdFusion integrate. And as you saw, what we did with the login form was only doing the interface, I mean the user interface. We only replace HTML. We have not done anything on the server. We are not authenticating the actual client. We are not actually doing anything besides presenting the form and just replacing HTML. So that's why ColdFusion will still be used to talk to databases, to send email, to do everything that we usually do except rendering HTML. So how do the two communicate? We can communicate via HTTP services, web services, remote object, which is flash remoting, and also using the Flex data services by using the ColdFusion gateways. So HTTP services are actually a very simple way of communicating. You only do HTTP GET and HTTP POST requests. So you use it for things like consuming XML or consuming XML RPC services like Flickr, or if you wanted to consume an RSS file, I mean feed, like a blog feed or something like that, which is XML, or even a text file that you want to load, maybe a configuration file, anything that is just simple text. And for that, we use the HTTP service tag. So if we go to Flex Builder and we look at the example, we don't use that, we use HTTP service, and we use the HTTP service tag. And we always put some ID to be able to refer to that instance of the service later. But what's important in the HTTP service tag is the URL, because that will tell the service where to look for the actual data. In this case, I made a login CFM file, which does some logic saying, oh yeah, you are authenticated, or maybe you are not. And it just sends XML. So the login CFM file just checks and sends some simple XML. So in order to call this service, we remember that we were clicking on the button saying, okay, call the login function. And then within the login function, we call the service and send the username and the password as parameters. Now, because I am using the default, which is HTTP GET request, we will get that within ColdFusion in the URL scope. If we use the POST request, we will get that within the form scope. So we can run this. And just say, if I don't say anything, we'll complain saying, and that is what this returned from the XML file. And if I say something, then it will say I'm logging, which I'm not. That's okay. So the other way was using web services. These are actually any web service, .NET web service, Java, or ColdFusion web service. So the previous one was very general. You could use PHP, I mean anything. Web services, again, you can use any server-side technology. And anything that is SOAP compliant can be used as a service, then Flex can consume it. And we'll use the web service tag for that. The web service tag also will add the ID, but what's important is that we say where the WSDL file is located. In this case, it's in the same domain as this file, but it could be somewhere else, like. And then if it is somewhere else, then you will have to say the whole path. And what I did is to use ColdFusion to create the service that just logs you in. And that is in within the folder services, and it's called authenticator.cfc. If we open it, I'm guessing that everyone knows how to create a web service in ColdFusion, but if you don't know, it's just a component, and you need to have a function with access remote. And that will say that this component, I mean, that this function is available as a service, as a web service. This specific service just has two parameters, username and password, and that's the same thing. We could run it. It's not like very exciting, but just to prove that it works, we will just say, okay, it's required. Okay. Now next, the third way is by using remote objects. Now this is a little more specific, not to ColdFusion, but I think it is the best way to communicate between Flex and ColdFusion. It is very similar to web services, but it is different in the way that it's using the binary action message format, which is binary. So it is much smaller, faster to transfer, and faster to parse or serialize and deserialize once it gets to the server or it gets to the client. It's much faster than web services. And there are also another, I mean, there is also another advantage that we'll see in a moment. So to use the remote object tag, you need the remote object tag. But in this case, we're not saying exactly where, like we are not saying any URL or anything like that. We are using a name destination. That destination right now is called ColdFusion. And that is defined in an XML file that by default, when you create the new project in the builder, it will be already there. So you probably don't need to change it, but just so you know where it is. And if you, when you define the project, it will ask you where your, where this XML file is. And it will use that. So actually, if you go to compiler, you'll see that this XML file has the definition, has this destination ColdFusion already defined, so we don't need to define it over and over again. And lastly, we need to say what component we want to call, with what service component we want to call. And we say that by using the search attribute. And this whole path will be the path from the web root to the actual component that we're going to use. And that is the same component that we use for the web service call. And actually, there is no change between a web service, between a component that that defines a web service and a component that defines an action, flex remoting service. There will be differences if we use class mapping, we'll show you later. But in this case, it's just a simple service and we don't need to change it to use it. And so that's the name of the component that we're going to use. So if we now use the remote object, I don't think I need to run it. That's the same thing.
Yeah.
So next. Okay, next, are you going to introduce it? Okay, we're going to make a little example here, and we'll show you how the example looks like when it's formatting on NICE.
Yeah, this is a to-do list, so we have our list. If I click here, don't click. I can add? Yeah.
Yeah, you can add.
Because there is a problem.
Everything. Yeah. No, there is no problem. Okay, no. Let me.
Okay.
We won't get to that point in here, so there's no point in showing something that we won't be able to show.
Okay, so I can add. So let's try something like speak at CF United, and we add, and you can see here that get added to the list. So we want to build this using first the design view. So let's go back to the Flex Builder, and we want to create a new project. Okay, new project. As you can see, when we create the project, it's an application that is empty. We have an open and closed tag, and we want to jump to the design view. So first, we need to put a list here and make a little smaller. As you can see, it's very easy. You just drag and drop and move the things around. And let me drag a panel. Let's put the panel here. We need a text area. Where is okay here? Text area. This text area we use to write our task. And I put an ID, so then I can reference everything from ActionScript. Let's add a button. Let me. Okay. And we want to change the name of the label. So we want to put add task. And we also need to have an ID on the list. So we put list here. As you can see, if we go back to the source, we have the application, and now inside the application we have all these MX tags that we just drag and drop on the design view. So we can save and run it. So it's the same thing that we saw in the design view. Let's now what we want to do, let me jump to the we want to do is to create the Cold Fusion components.
Okay. So with Flex Builder, you can also install what are called the Flex Builder extension for Cold Fusion, and those will give you two different wizards. One that Ben showed you today, and the other one to generate only Cold Fusion components. So one will generate like a whole application, and the other one will generate only components that you will use. So for that, we'll actually use the second option. So with those extensions, you get three different views within the builder that are only for Cold Fusion: the RDS data view, RDS file view, and the services browser. You need RDS enable in your server if you're going to use this. And the RDS view, when you open it, what you get is the list of all the data sources that were on your Cold Fusion administrator. So what I will use is my to-do list data source, which only has one table called task. What I'm going to do is to right-click, say Cold Fusion Wizards, and then use the Create CFC Wizard. It will ask me where to put these files and if I want to use any package name. But it already knows that the ID is the primary key, and it gets that from the actual table. And there are three different options. I will use the center one, which will create a bin type and a data access object type and also a gateway. We also have the option of creating an ActionScript object, or actually an ActionScript class. That class matches the Cold Fusion component, in this case is task. Let me run this, and I'll show you what happens. So these four files get created. One is the task option. Every property in this object matches all of the columns in the data, in the table, in the database. So we are doing a bin type of object with getters and setters one for every property of the component. We also have the same properties in the ActionScript class that got created. And not only that, I mean, we could add any other function to this class, but what's important is that these classes map to the ColdFusion component sitting on the server. So when we instantiate this and send it to the server, the two classes will be matched. And then the data access object class, I mean component, that has the normal read, create, update, and delete methods, and they actually have queries that insert or update the database. And finally, the gateway that has all of the remote functions that will be served as services to the client, that is to the Flex interface.
So going back, going back to the Flex code, I will continue doing the application. Let me go back. So the first that we need to create is a remote object. Let me do that. Okay, remote object. And we want to use the destination that is ColdFusion. We want to add the source that in this case is to do this that task gateway. This is the same file that the wizard creates. And we also need an ID, so we can then call this remote object. We close this, and now inside this remote object, we want to create a method. With a name. The name will be get all. And then a result is an event that we receive when ColdFusion return an array. So let's call result get all.
Let me add something. Just to clarify, in the gateway, we have the method getAll, and that's what the method name is referring to.
And show the return type.
Is returning an array of objects of type task, and that is the component. And we are returning an array of instances of this type. Of objects of this type.
Okay. So now. Now what we need to do is create the ActionScript. We want to create an inline ActionScript here. So let me. Just do it very quickly. And we want to create the function that the result event will call. So we create private function get all event result. As you can see, Flex Builder already import the package as iType because it knows what package is in which package is result event. So this is very easy. It's very helpful. Now that what we want to do is put the array that we receive inside the list. So we do list that data provider equal event that result. Okay, now we have the result inside the list, but what we want to do is put in the list the description. As you see here, there is this property in the task that is the description. We want to use that property to show that property in the list. So we go back here and we use the label field to do that. Now, what we want to do is when the application loads, call the remote object and get the data. So,
yeah, if you remember on the login example, the user will click on the button and then we will call the service. In this case, we want the data to load by itself as soon as the application loads. We are not waiting for the user to click on anything or to do anything. So that's why we're using the application complete attribute.
Okay, let's try. Oops. Let me check what is the problem. Okay. Oh, it's not label function. Okay. Label fill. Okay. Okay. Now.
Now that is why you need the builder.
Yeah, because if you.
It tells you what's the problem. It will highlight the line. I mean, we always make mistakes when we type. So that's one very important thing for the builder to have.
Yeah, and as you can see, we get all the data, and the data is on the list. So we have the array populate on this list. Now what we want to do is to create... Okay.
So another reason...
Wait a second. Okay, what do you want to do? Okay, the debugger. Let's show the debugger. One second.
That's what happens every day.
Yeah. Okay. Here I put a breakpoint. With that, allow us to inspect this function. And if we run this, as you can see, change this little window. I will expand here. We can, let me open here.
So it automatically changed to the debugging view, which
exactly.
Is different because it has the variables, the breakpoints, and yeah.
Okay. As you can see, we have the event and we have the result that is an array. This is the array that we are put it on the list. Inside the array, we have the description. That's why we put the description here in the label field, because we want to put the description inside the list.
So sometimes if you don't know what you're receiving from the server, you can use the debugger and tell you, okay, yeah, you're receiving an array with 5 different items. And it might even it will tell you also the properties or what things you have in the array, or if... that's one thing. If you sometimes you don't know exactly what you are sending from ColdFusion, you are not sure if it's a query, is it an array, or that's what you can use.
Well, now what we want to do is when the user click the button, we want to call and add a new task and put it on the list. So for that, we use the click event, and we want to create a function to call. So we want to call it a task. And now we need to create this in ActionScript. So we do this private function at task. And we don't return anything. And we want to get the description that is not in the list, the description that is in the text area. So we access the text area by ID, and okay. 3 minutes. Okay. We want to create a new task. Var new task equal. This is the type of task.
So if you recall, the task class was a user-defined task. We created it with the wizard. Now the IDE still was able to find that and show it in the drop-down that appear to tell us, okay, you can use this as a class. And also with the description, did you do that?
I
was talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the IDE helps a lot. You click, for example.
Yeah, like in the task that is a user-defined.
Yeah, let's delete that, for example. When you click the dot, you have all the properties that have this object.
The description, the ID, priority, all that.
Okay, and now we want to call the server. Remote that save. And we want to pass the new task. But we need to create this method. So we want to create that method. Name, save, and result. We want to call result save. And we want to pass an event. Okay. Now we need another ActionScript function here, private function. This will say, oops, event. And what we want to do is refresh the list. So we want to call remote that get all. So when the user click, we call add task, and we create a new task, and we send it to the server. Then the server get back and say, okay, now what? Now we want to call here again the server to refresh the view. So if we run this and everything's work fine, oops.
Oh.
What?
Close tag on the method.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Let's try again. Okay. Close. Yeah.
Okay. We did it. Okay. So what we've done with the task object that he created using new task and then send it to the server, then on the server we had the task CoFusion component that mapped to this object. Now, what it actually happened was that we created the ActionScript object, we set some properties like a description, and then we send it to the server using the save method. Actually, let's just quickly. So this is actually the method that we're calling. We call the method, we pass this object along. But then when it reaches the gateway, what it happens is it becomes a CoFusion object. It's not an ActionScript object any longer. And when it actually is ready for us to use within that service function, it is already a CoFusion object instance. You will never know, CoFusion will never know that that came from the client, that it used to be an ActionScript object. it never knows that. It knows that it's an object that it can use, it's already instantiated, and the same happens the other way around. If we create an object within ColdFusion and set some properties, maybe call some functions on it, and then we pass it, we send it to the client, then it will become an ActionScript object that we can use with its properties. We could call functions, ActionScript functions in this case, as if it was instantiated within the same environment. So that's actually one advantage over web services for using the remote object type of communication. Now, we use the wizard to create some files, some ColdFusion components, but if you're going to use them, you need to know what they are because you will probably need to change, modify them to suit your needs. And there were actually three different options. One of the options was the bin and data access object type, and that's the one we used. And that's why we had four different files. One was the task ActionScript object on the left end, and that was, again, an ActionScript file. And then we have the task gateway, and that was the service. It was the only interface between the client and ColdFusion. We offer a few functions as remote, as flat remote in services, and that was the only function of the task gateway, to be the interface between the client and ColdFusion. In this case, it didn't do anything. It was just grabbing the task object and passing it along, but it could be doing things specifically for the client, maybe formatting or whatever it needs to do. Then we have the task object that the task gateway is passing along, and that's the ColdFusion component, the ColdFusion bin with the properties and getters and setters. And that object got passed from the gateway to the data access object. The only task, no, that doesn't sound well. The only function, maybe, of the task data access object is to interface with the database. So it has all the queries, it has everything that it needs to know to get this object, find its properties, and save it to the database. Maybe have a new record, or delete it, or update it. So that's how the three things are separated. We have the client, we pass this object all the way down to the database. The gateway interfaces between the client and ColdFusion, and then the data access object interfaces between ColdFusion and the database. The other option was to use active record type of CFC. In this case, it's similar, but you don't get the data access object ColdFusion component. You only get the gateway. Again, it's the interface between the client and the server. I mean, it's on the server, but it's the only ColdFusion component that interfaces with Flex. But the task itself, in the previous example, it only had getters and setters for the properties and whatever else you want to add to that component. But with the active record type, this task object will also know how to save itself into the database. It will know how to update itself from the database, and it will also know how to delete itself. And that means that it not only has all the properties and getters and setters, but it also has some queries. Yeah, we could run it. We don't have it, but we can run it. So it's actually, so we go to the data view. We do the same thing. But instead, we choose this type. And it only has two different files. And we could also have the ActionScript file to be generated. So if we do that, then the ActionScript file will be the same. The gateway will be different, and the task will be much different. Because not only we have all the getters and setters, the properties and all that, but these are all the getters and setters, but then we have the save method, load, so that we can load an object. I mean, we say, okay, you load yourself, and then it will look for its properties from in the database, and it loads itself. It will make a query and then set its own properties. It can create itself if it finds that doesn't have any ID. So it would say, oh, I don't have an ID, so I'm probably not in the database. I should be creating myself into the database. And it can update itself. And the key thing is that the idea is that the objects do those things by themselves. But what they are doing actually is making some queries to the database or the delete method. So that's the basic difference. Okay.
Yeah, we have a little problem here. Yeah, we don't have internet, but maybe we can.
Maybe now.
Try now. If not, I would try to run it locally. So.
No, locally.
At least they can see what is around. Okay. Okay. Locally.
Locally,
why?
Because there's no database.
Yeah, but application. Okay, let's do it locally. Actually, you can. Let me run it. This is an application that, yeah.
There is no database.
That's why you have this error, because this is online and locally it doesn't work. But you can take a look later.
Maybe you can access it.
Yeah, maybe it's.
Do you have internet?
Something helps computer.
Wireless?
Yeah.
Off and on, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. And this is an application that we built for the Derby contest. And what it does is just populates this small map, and when you click, show all the properties, and yeah, I cannot show too much here, but that's the idea.
Yeah, it's aesfusion.com/apps/homelocator.
And well. Let's go back to the slides. So when we have an application bigger that we need to build, we cannot do everything in one file. So because if we have the remote object and the GUI and everything, the action script, it's going to be crazy to debug an application like that. So what we need to do is separate the application in pieces. And then what I usually do is use events to communicate between components. So this is the application. And as you can see, I have three main components. One is all the services that we use, all the remote objects are all in one file. And then we have a side view, where is the map here, the small map, and a filter that you didn't see. But and then we have other components. So what happened? You have a component, and then another component, and inside another component, and you have something like this. So a component inside a component, because you are making a different file for each component. So when you need to click inside one of the components and you want to call a service, what happens is that you need to go all the way up and then all the way down or wherever it is located.
Yeah, so you may not even know where that other component or other service or whatever is located.
And maybe change something in the middle. You just remove one component and put it back, and your path is not the same. So the best is not use anything like that, following a path. Just throwing events, you can do this more nicer. So you can add more on the
event?
Yeah.
The click event. No. yeah. So actually, Flex 2 has a built-in event model, and actually, the person that's going to talk about events is here, and there's a whole session on that because they are so powerful. If you click on one component, you can throw that event, and that event, if you choose to bubble it up, then it will reach everything up to the application, and your other components can listen to any other event from anywhere else. So you can communicate not only to find services, you can communicate between a panel, between two panels, between a panel and a button, any component to any other component, you are able to communicate via these events that you throw, and then the other ones listen.
Yeah. Here I open the Home Locator application, and as you can see, I have different folders, and one of them is events. And I just open one, so you can look the code. And the most important thing here is that this is bubbled up. So whenever an event of this kind happens on the application, goes all the way up to the main application, to the root, and then if any other component want to hear this event, just can register to the main application for that, and you can use that to decouple all your components. So having
at any time you can choose not to listen to one event, and nothing will break. You're just not listen, or you may choose to listen to one. I mean, one component may choose to listen to one event at any time, and your application will still work. If you change things around, everything will still work. Okay, so he said that we can separate things into files. And if everything is in the same folder, then if you create new components, if you extend from the ones built in, then everything will be okay. But if you want to have more organized structure with folders and subfolders and all that, the compiler won't be able to find those components. So you can use XML namespaces to define where to find those new components that you create. So in order to do that, he was talking about some views here and there and some services, and those are actually folders that were located after the root of the project. So by default, everything is within the same folder. You also have already defined the MX namespace, which is the one that you use all the time to have the panel, all of the built-in components are within the MX namespace, and that's why we use MX column and then the name of the component. But we can also have our own namespaces, like he had the views namespace, and that will be just a folder that you define in the tag, and you say XML NS for namespace, colon, and then the name of the namespace you want to use.
Yeah, I can show.
It doesn't have to match the folder, but...
Yeah, for example, here I have com, home locator, and then I have views here. So, and then if we open the main application, home locator, I have the same path, com, home locator, views. And everything inside is just views. So if you look on the code, then I access like this, views and semicolon search.
Okay. So we would like to say thanks. If you have any questions, we have some resources here. We did not talk about frameworks, but there is one framework for Flex 2, and there is also a framework for Flex 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Flex 2 is the ARP framework. We did not use any framework in this presentation, but they are useful. I mean, like, there is a whole framework thing called Fusion going on. So if you like that and you like frameworks, you may want to take a look at the Flex frameworks.
And we will have the presentation of slides on AS Fusion, because what you have in the CD is not up to date. And also we have some code, the to-do list, the finished version that I don't know where it is. This one. So we will post this later tonight, so we can inspect what we did. This is more complex because can delete and have priority and other things, but you can take a look.
You can edit.
Yeah, you can edit.
But I didn't let him do.
Yeah. So, any questions?
Can you go back to that URL so we can see those URLs?
Yeah.
Excuse me, I couldn't hear you. That's the one we're going to post. Yeah. Not that.
Yes.
Specifying a return type of an array of objects, is that in the newest version of Cold Fusion?
No, it was actually already, it was there already. Yeah, but nobody used it.
Yeah.
It wasn't documented yet, but it was there, yeah.
Is there any
Well, because your application is all Flex, so you will have any validation that you want within Flex itself. Flex has built-in validation that you can use for, you can use rechecks if you want, you can use custom validation, you can create those, or you can have just built-in validation that is already there. We did not show anything, but it's already there for use. Yeah. You can run that on HTTPS, this secure socket layer, if you want. And it's not encrypted, it's just binary, so it's easier to parse. It's not that it's encrypted, so you can actually it's a good idea if you want to look at something, if we have a little minute here. When you run, if we open an HTTP debugger kind of thing, you will see what's being sent. Yeah. So if I run this again, then you will see what's sent. Actually, you'll see it in hex. And everyone can read hex, right? So you'll see, I mean, what's being sent. It's not plain text, it's in hex. So this is what it's sent. So that's why it's binary. But, I mean, not binary. So, but you can analyze. What you,
there's a great tool called Service Capture.
Yeah.
That allows you to read AMF to see exactly what's going on.
Right. I don't have it installed here, but you won't see hex, you will see exactly what, like the debugger, like the IDE was showing, exactly what array you have, the everything, it will be there. Right, that's how you will use that if you want it to be secure. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much,
thanks,
everyone.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.